troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host. We can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And Sound Doctrine is spelled with one D. And I want to welcome everybody back. It's only been a couple days since the last show, and it's a new year, and so much stuff is opening up that I can hardly handle it. And if I don't get this stuff out as it's coming in, there'll be a traffic jam in my mind, short circuit that often happens, and it's one of my personal struggles. And all I know to do is to just stay on top of this, and as this revelation comes in, I'm at the point now where I can dogmatically teach this in a way that I don't even have words to describe what I'm seeing right now and what's coming in. And it's all, we're working together here. It's all a function of emails and confirmations that are coming in from listeners. Mark Jenkins, Randy Clay, Gordon Comstock, we're all just like, the pieces of the puzzle are coming together so fast now that it's startling, it's astonishing, it's astounding. But you know where I left off in the last show, kind of abruptly, and last thing I want to do is be a drama queen, or whatever. But it's dramatic. This thing is just so different than what we've been taught, and we are so, our minds are so clogged with false doctrine, with lies from the time in this harlot church system. But ironically, it's all part of it, and it's all part of this amazing understanding the Lord's bringing in right now. That as I said, I'm of the I'm kind of a analytical type kind of guy. I'm, no rocket scientist or anything, but, I've been able to figure things out. I've worked with mechanical things my whole life, and, I can usually, figure out a problem on a car or a truck or whatever, by a process of elimination, really. And I just apply this to what, Scripture is showing me. And you come to this point, which is where I'm at right now, where you have to draw a conclusion. And it's like, if this is the case, well, then that means this is true. And if that's true, well, then it means this is true. And if that's true, then it means this is true. And this is really what's going on right now. Because, you take this information, and with deductive reasoning, you reach a conclusion. And the conclusion is just so crazy that you have to push past that cognitive dissonance that I was talking about, where you can't, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. How can this be? This isn't what I was taught. But no, this can be, because this is the way it is. And I'm telling you, the thing that I'm seeing right now, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to communicate it, because I'll tell you, you can't get this with your own understanding. You got to have it. It's got to be opened up to you spiritually. The natural man understands not the kingdom, the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. And this is what we have. So, you know, you cannot approach this stuff with a church mentality. And I'm telling you, you know, part of what I'm doing now too is just I'm just done with this dialectic bickering on these forums, on these emails, going back and forth, arguing. It's just, I mean, I don't do it anymore. I see it going on constantly, arguing doctrine. And it's just, it's over. Those days are over. Because there's none of that in the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke the truth. He spoke it didactically. And you either accepted it or you walked away like the rich young ruler. Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything. And he said, screw this, I'm out of here. You know, I'm sorry. You know, and that's the snare, okay? See, that was a snare that he's caught in. It's like, if he's going to accept this, you know, he's got to chuck all that he's put his hope and trust in. And this is where we are today with this religious system. Even in you know, the most dangerous place to be in today is in Christian leadership in this harlot church. Because if you're going to accept this truth that's coming out, you know, you got to run. You got to run for your life. And these guys, these pastors, these hireling shepherds, you know, in these 501c3 corporate churches, even though, you know, there are some that are remnant, they are God's servants. They are part of the chosen. But they're in a real world of hurt right now, because from what they're going to have to go through to get from here to there, it's going to cost them everything. You know, those that do respond, and you know, it's just too bad. I had my snare to deal with, you know, my life, my world that I created around me, you know, my world of striving, of achieving, you know, trying to be successful, all that stuff, trying to please my wife with, you know, with success and all that, you know, all came crashing down on me 4 years ago, and I've been working through this time. And I really think it was my 3.5 years, honestly. You know, the period of time that, you know, it's a type of Jesus's ministry where, you know, the woman is nourished in the wilderness, like we were talking about in the Revelation 12 study, where the Lord nourishes you, feeds you, the manna from heaven. You know, you see the pattern of Saul as he had his experience on the Damascus Road. Which, on a side note, is a note of encouragement. Because if there was ever a blind religious leader, it was Saul. And I'm talking about New Testament Saul, who became Paul. So there's very encouraging patterns there. There are going to be religious leaders that do wake up, that are waking up. But they are in a real predicament right now, because they have built their life around this system, and if they're going to accept the truth that's coming out, you know, they got to leave. You know, they got to leave their job as assistant pastor with, you know, their plaques on the wall in their, you know, nice, you know, office. Probably have a leather chair behind their oak desk, and you know, they're pretty comfortable. Probably have a, you know, $250,000. Home in the suburbs with a mortgage payment that they're making, the mortgage payment from their paycheck that trickles down from the tithes of this harlot, you know, beast church that they're, you know, tied to. And all that's going to go. You know, it's all got to go. You've got to come out of that. They have to come out of that. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us to leave, you know, the church that we're you know, trusting in. I had a, you know, hard time. I was never going to do it. The Lord did it for me. You know, I was kicked out of my harlot seeker-friendly church. And it was the last thing on my mind, leaving. You know, I wanted to stay there and fix it. You know, that was what I was trying to do. But the Lord made that real clear. It's not going to happen. You know, you're out of here. And you, and then I'm telling you, I saw the look in the eye of that head elder that was wroth with me. He was wroth with the woman and the remnant of her seed. I saw that look in his eye, and I'll never forget it. And here I am. You know, it's been 4 years, and I've been out of the harlot system. Well, it's been 3.5 years since I've been out of the system. And anyway, this is the stuff I'm getting. That this is what I'm reporting. You know, and I'm publishing the report. And I'm here to share it with you right now. But we need to take what we've learned, what we've been indoctrinated with for so long, for our whole Christian lives, and just pretty much throw it all out the window. And this event known as the tribulation that we've been, marveling at, you know, over all these years, is so different than what's been taught that it's not even, you know, you can hardly even deal with it. And you won't be able to deal with this show tonight. But I'm just going to teach it because this is the way it is. And it's just going to be a matter of time going by that people are going to realize that what I'm saying today is the truth. And do I have all the answers? No. But I've got a pretty good piece of it right now that I'm going to put out here. And what I'm seeing based on, you know, 2 years of methodical Bible study with my friends and listeners of the show, encouraging, you know who you are. And I'm telling you, this whole thing started 2 years ago when Bill and I figured out that the 1,000 years was a metaphor. And everything that clicked from that point. And if you read Revelation chapter 9 and you read Revelation chapter 20 and you put the pieces together and you use the if that, you know, if this is so, well then this is so. And it's so astonishing and so contrary to what's taught that it's hard to even accept it, even though you see it. But there comes a point in time, and it's right now, where you gotta teach it and you gotta put it together. And you know, I'm doing that right now. I have to. I've got to get this out. And you know, whatever happens with this information is, you know, up to the Lord and us as far as accepting it. And, but I will do nothing. But I reveal my secret to my servants, the prophets. And this is the Lord. This is what He's doing. He has revealed His secret to those with eyes to hear, with eyes to see and ears to hear. How does He choose? Don't know. This is the Lord. But this is what's happening. And you know that I came up with an observation of the 5 months in Revelation chapter 9 about a year ago, figuring that if we take the formula of the 70 weeks of Daniel, you know, a day being a year and 70 weeks of years, when you apply that to the 5 months that the Lord speaks about in Revelation chapter 9, well, that works out to 150 years. And then I thought to myself, well, that's about how long all this false doctrine has been on the land, you know? And I realized, well, this is what Scripture says. It says the locusts that ascend out of the bottomless pit will torment men 5 months. And with so much of the work that we've done, you know, with Watchmen Weekly, with Bob and Bill, when we were all together, and like the series on the Pale Horse, and the tracking the falling away from sound doctrine that has happened in the house of God, and, you know, tracing it back to the times of the mid-1800s, you know, when so much of this false doctrine started to take hold. And, you know, that's the signature that I saw. But, I, you know, it's been hard for me to just preach it, thus saith the Lord, till now, till probably yesterday, because the Lord gave me a final confirmation connecting all this that cannot be understood. I can't convince anyone of this, because without the foundation of the metaphoric language and this is a language in Scripture that, when you look at these difficult pieces of Scripture, it's got to be the metaphor and the Holy Spirit that witnesses the truth to us through this Scripture. You know, this is absolutely a manifestation of the Word of God being living and active, as this Word is alive. Literally, it has a pulse. It has a heartbeat. And as these pieces of Scripture are communicated to us in this metaphoric picture language the Lord has chosen to use to communicate to us these massive spiritual understandings that our finite minds, the only possible way we could get a hold of this understanding would be through this metaphoric language. But I'm going to share the stuff that I put together yesterday, and I sent out an email, to a couple of us, and then, I don't even know if anybody's going to get it, but boy, I'll tell you, I get it, and I see it, and I'm going to teach it right now, and, it's up to you to do with what you will with it. You might think it's nothing, but I'm telling you, this will play out. This will play out, and it's playing out now, and where we go from here, that'll be real interesting, but with this established, who knows? But I figured out that something I was reading. I found a book that's amazing. A guy has made massive connections of the similitudes of the Old Testament, applying to the New Testament. He's still got a Jewish dispensational slant, and that's the problem. But when you take what he's teaching concerning the connections of Old Testament Israel and Israel today, and realize that Israel of today is not the Israel in the Middle East. The Israel today is the spiritual church. It's the house of God. And you realize that these connections of the Old Testament, all things happen unto them for example. And this work is amazing. I'm gleaning so much understanding from it. And I'll probably post it to this show just to give you something to look at. But when you read this guy's work, you just insert what we know. When it says Israel, we know we're talking about the Israel of God, the Commonwealth of Israel, the church. And when you apply these patterns that he's seeing, we've been seeing, but this guy's doing it with some real solid, history. The guy really understands Jewish history, and it's really helping me. And it's amazing, the reason I found it was because I was picking up on the Assyrian invasion, he's seeing that as a type and shadow. Doesn't see it correctly. He thinks it's the Muslims coming against, the nation state of Israel over oil or what. He made some connection there, but we know that the Assyrians are the false teachers that invade the Israel of God, which is what's happened. This is what this study is about. And I'm telling you, the scorpions of the earth have power, and they torment men 5 months, it says in Revelation 9. Well, this guy made a comment, and I go, oh my gosh. And then as I studied it, I said, this is it. This is the signature that I needed to be able to teach this dogmatically, and that's what I'm doing right now. Genesis chapter 7, verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days, okay? I mean, who can even imagine what that means as far as the metaphor goes? We know what it means. That the flood prevailed upon the earth for 150 days, okay? That is a gigantic, gigantic prophetic signature the Lord's given us to tie all this together. So follow me. Matthew 24:39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. Well, we know what we've been teaching about that. One taken, one left. It's not the rapture. One taken is being taken into captivity, taken into spiritual bondage, taken into deception. The flood came and took them all away. The flood. Revelation 9:3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. We know this locust scorpions are the same thing, the same identity. Here in Revelation 9:3, the identities shift. Locusts And in the same context, they're referred to as scorpions. It's a given. Locusts and scorpions are the same identity. And verse Revelation 9:5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And then verse 10 reiterates the same point. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. 5 months, 150 days. The flood was on the earth 150 days. Revelation 9:4, and it was commanded to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Long story short, the 144,000 are not deceived. They are not carried away by the flood. They're not tormented by the scorpions. They're not hurt by the scorpions, the locust scorpions, the serpents and scorpions. You will have power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will by in any means hurt you. In other words, nothing will deceive you. Jesus told the disciples that nothing would hurt them. They were all martyred, all but one. The herd is deceived. They have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. We have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Stick with me. We know more. Just I have to put this in for anybody possibly not familiar with what we've taught about the locust scorpions. Joel chapter 1 verse 4. They which the palmer worm had left, the locust eaten, and that which the locust had left, the cankerwort worm has eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left, the caterpillar has eaten. Verse 7, and he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare, cast it away, the branches thereof are made white. References here to the hurt not the grass or any living thing, any green thing. Metaphor, big time metaphor going on here with what do the locusts do? They devour the foliage, the green things, the life. They eat the life. They lay waste the vine and bark the fig tree. The vine and the fig tree is the covenant. It's the covenant confirmed. The old covenant law confirmed by Christ on the cross. Daniel 11:32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is the people that do know their God are the ones that are not deceived because they have the mark of God on their forehead. Follow me, stick with me, and these sermon notes will be here on the website. Revelation 12 verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. You see in a pattern here, flood, 5 months, 150 days, the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Daniel 8:12, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So we've got this word cast water as a flood, cast the truth to the ground. It's talking about the same thing. Okay, this flood is the deception. It's the truth being cast to the ground, and this is the thing that brought this all together and is allowing me to teach this dogmatically right now. Whether you can get a hold of this or not, I get a hold of this because I've obsessed over this for 2 years, and the Lord is opening this up now and giving me the confirmation that I needed to be able to say this is the way it is. And if this is the way it is, well, what does that mean then for other things? Well, that's where it gets real interesting. But Daniel, you know, this is all coming out of that four verses in Daniel chapter 9. The four verses at the end of Daniel chapter 9 that tell the whole story. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. In verse 26, And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So there's the link that's tying us from the 70 weeks to the flood. And it's allowing me to dogmatically teach that the 150 years is 5 months. The 5 months in Revelation 9 is the same thing as the 150 years as a metaphor in Genesis chapter 7 in the account of the flood. The flood is a symbol, you know, the flood that swept everyone away. Well, it's the same flood. You know, the Lord promised he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. Well, but we see all the reference to the flood at the end of the age. So what's that? Well, that's because the flood at the end of the age, the end thereof shall be with a flood. It's the flood of deception. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphoric flood. And it's been on the scene now for 150 solid years. We've taught it dogmatically, given you every possible physical connection to it. And, you know, here it is. You know, the 70 weeks connects the metaphor for weeks as years to the flood. The flood is connected to the torment of the scorpions, the deception. The original flood was on the earth 150 days, 5 months. The flood at the end, the torment of the scorpions, tied to the 70 weeks of Daniel, backs up what I've been saying now for a year. 5 months calculated in the same way the 70 weeks are figured means 150 years. 2013 minus 150 brings us to around 1860. And what happened? Well, right, this is when we see Marxism, dispensational British Israel cults, which talks about like Schofield dispensationalism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, all come out of this period. Ironically, having just gone through the Christmas season, wouldn't you know that Christmas has really only been celebrated in the United States since the Civil War? You know, this is another signature of all this false doctrine that's coming out of this period of time. Tormented men 5 months. You know, all the, and it's all tied to the Jesuit-inspired false doctrine. And I'm telling you, this is the false doctrine. It's released from the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit's been opened. The bottomless pit is opened. And I'm telling you, it's the little season, it's the short space, and it's the time that we're talking about that you can take all this that I'm teaching and plug it into Revelation chapter 20, and you see that at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loose for a little season to deceive the nations again. Well, this is what I'm talking about, and this is what's happening. And in fact, it's coming to the end. And with that said, I'm going to just... before we take the break, Matthew chapter 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the others. And with that, we're going to take a short break, and we'll pick it back up on the other side.